Social workers and mental health professionals play a vital role in the health and well-being of youth and school communities. They are critical players in bridging schools and communities, as well as providing support and resources to students and families in need. However, the process of onboarding, supporting, and sustaining school-based mental health professionals can be challenging. In this audio cast, you'll hear about how the Lost Hills Union School District has led efforts to develop systems that support the recruitment, hiring, oversight, retention, and supervision of school social workers, reducing barriers for member districts within the West Kern Consortium. Hi, my name is Lon Nguyen. In addition to my voice, you'll hear from Fidelina Sasso, Assistant Superintendent of the Lost Hills Union School District, Leticia Lamon, Lead Social Worker, and Michael Figueroa, Consultant. You'll also hear from Jenny Sill of Kern Behavioral Health and Recovery Services, or BHRS. Barbara Paradise, Regional Director for College Community Services, a contracted mental health provider with Kern BHRS, and member of the Children's Cabinet, as well as from 8th grade student Eric and community member and parent representative Marta, on the Lost Hills Positive Behavioral Interventions and Supports team. The West Kern Consortium is a partnership between small, rural districts and key partners located in California's Central Valley. The Children's Cabinet, the advisory group for the consortium, consists of representatives from the community. Together, their goal is to address chronic absenteeism in the region. Research has consistently demonstrated a strong correlation between chronic absenteeism and lower academic achievement, increased likelihood of involvement with the juvenile justice system, and a decreased likelihood of graduating on time. Michael shared about the community and how the consortium was formed.
So the West Kern Consortium is originally started as a group of three small school districts: Lost Hills Union Elementary School District, Maple School District, and Semi-Tropic School District. Those districts were working together in different kinds of ways already, like doing things like sharing a school psychologist, for example, on staff to be able to fund a full-time position, or collaborating on professional learning and things like that. When the opportunity came up to apply for a federal community schools grant, the team got together and thought about whether or not it made sense for them to operate that kind of model in their rural context and work together for the greater good of all three of their districts. Long story short, they went forward with that opportunity, were awarded that grant. And since then, it's really been an impetus to all other sorts of opportunities, partnerships, securing local funding, growing and getting more federal grants to support whole child, whole family, whole community supports within their region. In addition to that, we have the Children's Cabinet of West Kern. It serves as an advisory group of folks that come together, inclusive of parent representatives from each of the school communities, to talk about the needs that are of that region. Some of the partners on the Children's Cabinet include local political representatives, the Department of Public Health, the Department of Behavioral Health and Recovery Services, our local Medi-Cal provider behavioral health agency that serves our region. In addition to that, we have our community action partnership friends. We have folks that work for the Kern Community Foundation. Lots of different partners, private, public, and school agencies working together and really focusing primarily on thinking about reduction in chronic absenteeism. That's really what holds us all together. And all the activities that come out of that related to behavioral health, related to school attendance initiatives, related to bringing more services on campus, are done with the intent of reducing that chronic absenteeism rate in our region.
The Children's Cabinet serves as a platform for those interested parties to come together, discuss, and work on initiatives that benefit children and the overall community. This level of collaboration has been crucial, as Jenny Sill and Barbara Paradise, both members of the cabinet, shared.
So probably well over 8 years ago or so, from a state level, the state began what we call child and family teams. And it really is looking at cross-system coordination of how do we pull in the riches of the community to be able to support families. And I just think this is kind of building on that. You know, it started in the child welfare system, but really is expanding so that all families' children are being able to benefit from tapping into the many resources.
Part of our role and part of the function of things that happen with the cabinet, it's about building those relationships and then problem solving the challenges in those relationships. Prior to us coming on, I think our ongoing engagement with the cabinet, I think maybe behavioral health was a little siloed from school. And I think really connecting up with the cabinet has helped us to really figure out how we can support better and then to make them more aware of what we can offer them. I think the other thing that they've done a lot of is that as an extension of the cabinet, then we also have regular meetings on the school sites with our school personnel. So for instance, like we have a staff member who's the assigned staff member for each school, and they're assigned one or two days a week on that school site. And then they meet with the school social workers on, you know, on every day that they're there. And then their program director who runs their clinic also meets then with Leticia and then whatever social worker to problem solve like referral issues or connection issues on that next level as well. So it kind of filters down from the cabinet and back up through the cabinet as well.
Lost Hills Union School District's in-house social work program has been a powerful way to improve the community's access to resources. It has reduced barriers to accessing social work services within the West Kern Consortium of Schools. As a result, member districts are more easily able to support the social and emotional well-being of students and families. Fidelina Sasso shared about the impetus for developing this program, what it took to get it off the ground, and the impact it is having.
To make that a successful program, we had to take ownership. We had to develop our own social worker program. And from developing our own job descriptions to hiring the staff, prior to having our own program, we had a high turnover of social workers. And it was very difficult to build relationship with the parents because we were losing them on a yearly basis. Lost Hills serves as the lead agency for the consortium. So that means that we handle all of the budgeting, the contracting, also the grant reporting responsibilities, hiring and placing the social workers. And so we initially began by developing our own positions that did not exist in our schools. We went through the whole process of getting them approval through unions and boards. And initially, when we began hiring the social workers, we invited all of the supervisors or all of the superintendents from the different school districts. And we all came together and we did the interviewing, and it was just a learning process because we've never really done anything like that. And we began by looking for a lead, somebody who could kind of lead us in the direction because I had never supervised any social workers. So that's sort of how we approached the hiring process. We talked and each site knew what their site needed. So they were able to start thinking about the social workers they wanted at their sites, and it actually worked pretty well. So every time that there is a need for a social worker at a specific site, everything is done through Lost Hills. We hire, we post the positions, but we always make a point to invite the site leaders who are going to be working directly with those social workers. So technically they are employees of the Lost Hills Union School District. Everything is done through our site. That's how they are compensated, but they're just set in a different school district, different location.
In addition to reducing structural barriers, Leticia Lamone underscored the importance of in-service professional development and supervision to help school social workers obtain their credentials and licenses. Vitalina described how the consortium's in-house social work program has contributed to retaining social workers and strengthening relationships with families.
All of our social workers are either credentialed, so they all hold a people personnel services credential or should hold one by the end of the year. So we have people in place to provide the supervision and the support to ensure that they're all, you know, receiving what they need to reach those goals and needs. They're all working on their clinical license as well. So that's also really, really neat because it's a very unique opportunity. Not very many agencies or districts do provide that support for social workers to get licensed. So they provide that supervision for them to be able to do that. And again, it all aligns with better serving the students. We meet every month, and then I go out there to do their site visits, and I'm responsible for all of the evaluation certificated staff, and you know, I do all of their site visits, their one-on-ones, their observations. So I go out to their sites to do all of those, and I check in with their admins as part of, you know, looking at areas of growth or what have you, to kind of help the social workers also develop and build their skills. So I meet with them regularly. And also if there's ever a crisis or anything like that, then I'm also available. And I also go out there to help them or, you know, consult with them as they need.
Ever since we developed our own program and we have been hiring our own social workers, we have been able to retain those social workers. We made it more appealing for them to work for the consortium. And so they are staying and they are developing those relationships with the staff members and with the parents. And I think that has been crucial in making that program successful.
Systems for delivering mental and behavioral health services are most effective when they consider the context of the communities that they are in. The West Kern Consortium includes 6 small rural school districts that experience unique challenges. Michael and Leticia shared about some of the ways their team has adapted and overcome these challenges.
One quick thing to add to about this unique about the rural context is a lot of times these social workers are, it's an expensive position to have in a school district that's as small as with 300 students, right? And so one of the things that we did was we got creative to sort of place people that could do multiple sites, right? And we thought that that was a great idea, right? It's so expensive, maybe we could share sites and learn, you know, from that experience, but also ensure that we're using dollars in a way that we feel, or that the world tells us is an effective use of dollars, right? This idea of that, like the numbers game for how many students are enrolled with a person that is full-time at a site. What we learned over time is that sort of thinking didn't work in our context, and primarily because the social workers were unable to spend enough time to gain relationships with students and families in the community. And that level of trust just didn't exist. So why am I going to have my sign off on paperwork to have my child go with you when I don't even know you? Your face doesn't come across regularly in the school setting. Like, why would I trust that? As it is, I already have stigmas about mental health and getting services for my children, and even possibly for myself. So why should I release that to you? In a rural context, it's more expensive to have a full-time person at each site. But based off of what we learned, it was necessary to have a full-time person at each site, both from a staffing perspective of someone's willingness to take on the job, to go out to a rural setting and be there full-time, and also from the perspective of building that community relationships with parents, students, teachers and staff, and building that trust.
I think just being able to be at one site has been really beneficial for all of us. And I think I can speak, you know, from my team, because every day they always tell me, oh, I love my job. I love what I do. You know, they are very happy. And a lot of them come from different backgrounds, so they bring a wealth of knowledge as well.
Trusting relationships developed between school social workers and community members can decrease barriers to accessing services and care. Marta underscores the importance of a welcoming environment and seeking resources at her child's school.
I have 2 older children. Until now, they've had no problems, but my youngest child has had problems since he was little. I've taken him to therapies because he doesn't eat well. He has problems eating. I was unaware that there were other places where they could help me. I said, no, I can't do it alone. So I finally asked here. Here, the social worker was able to talk to him and all that, and she helped me. She referred me to another place where they can help him even more.
The close partnerships formed between non-school-based providers and mental and behavioral health organizations through the Children's Cabinet have had an important role in supporting parents like Marta through throughout the community. Here is Barbara with more on the collaborative work being done.
One of the ways that we worked with in one area in Wasco, we had a regular case manager who was regularly on site at one particular school, and she had a good relationship with the social worker. And so the social worker had been trying to get the family to engage in mental health services because there was clearly a need. The family had some ambivalence about it. So even before they were linked to services, the school social worker introduced Jeanette, the worker who is there from CCS, who was on the site, and got to meet her. They got to ask some questions. So she came in a couple times, and it allowed the kid to feel more comfortable. And so when the referral finally came through, we made it a point to make sure that Jeanette was on the case. And so when they got their first referral and were doing the engagement piece of the services, the kid's face lit up. I've met you before. Like, it was very connecting, and it really made the connection stick.
As critical as this work is, one of the challenges of sustainability is ongoing, reliable funding. Lost Hills thought creatively about funding sources, which also supported the quality of experience for young people. Here are Fidelina and Michael talking about the work they did to get Medi-Cal services on campus more frequently.
The way we have been sustaining is using a variety of different funding to fund these positions. So we talk a lot about the community school grants, but that's not the only funding that we're utilizing to be able to place these social workers. When we initially started learning the importance of these positions, we started adding these positions or parts of these positions into our local plans. And so that has been the way that we have been sustaining these positions.
You know, one of the things that we've tried to implement from the Medi-Cal providing agency for the behavioral health services is we've been at it for about 2 years, running a pilot to try and get more of those services onto the school campus more often, or at least more students receiving services, whether it's on school campus or not. Because one of the things that we were finding, or that the county behavioral health was sharing, was that we have a lot of requests for services, or we hear that there's a strong need for services, but for whatever reason, students who were getting referred were falling through the cracks in terms of actually getting to the point where the services were being rendered through the provider. So we piloted a program to have those Medi-Cal mental health providers on campus at least one day a week or a half a day a week, just so that they begin to build a relationship with the community and they can begin to, you know, build that trust, essentially. One of the challenges that we found is that from the county's behavioral health perspective, their part of their driver is being able to bill for hours to be able to sustain having a person placed out at a rural location. Well, if we don't have the numbers for billing at the rates of which they have or they desire, it's difficult to get or secure an individual who will be placed at that site regularly. It's just been a challenge. And so we've been trying to think about more creative ways to have those providers on campus more often, but being funded through other funding streams so that they don't have to constantly be worried about billing, billable hours or billable services. And it's been a challenge to get that up and running. And we've increased the number of students who have been served. Naturally, just by having social workers on campus, that has happened because they're able to refer more and more closely monitor the referral after it's been made, whereas that didn't exist before. It was just like a wish that things actually get done.
Regardless of the challenges, they are seeing results. The team shared some of the positive impacts they have observed in regards to chronic absenteeism, school climate and culture, and academic performance. Fidelina, Michael, and Leticia shared their reflections.
I don't remember the last time we suspended a student since we've had social workers. They provide a level of resources and support that allows us to keep them in school and provide them with those resources and those strategies that they need. We also see an improvement in absenteeism, especially chronic absenteeism. They work closely with those students and those families. We have seen an improvement in that, and we know that when kids are in school, they perform better. So we definitely believe that our social workers and our whole social emotional team played an important part in our academics. We had top growth in Kern County in math and in ELA. And we definitely felt that they had a big part in that.
Yeah, I would just totally double down on that idea that academic growth, we see the connections around behavioral health, SEL supports. And really, if you think about whole child, whole community sort of thinking, you know, that support is essential into ensuring that the barriers are removed to learning and that learning can happen. Talk about incredible impact. During a pandemic year, of which the national trend was that proficiency rates went down across the board at almost every grade level, here you have a school, small rural school districts, a group of them that increased during the pandemic their mathematics proficiency. All three of the anchor districts increased mathematic proficiency, and two of the three increased in ELA, double-digit increases in proficiency for Lost Hills, which is incredible. Double digits is hard to get in a typical year, but a pandemic year, they were able to achieve that. So much of this is about removing barriers to learning. And essentially at the end of the day, the school is a learning organization and the school is responsible for helping students to learn. And I'm not saying that the test scores are the end all be all to student learning. However, it is a nice indicator to go off of, to think about that if we are improving, we're doing something right.
To kind of add on to all of that, I think we just hear it in our students too. You know, we talk to them or when they share things, they, you know, a lot of them feel when you ask them, you know, like, oh, how do you feel about your school? And the certain, you know, they feel that it's, some of them will say it's like a family. It's like a whole community. They do feel the, you know, the love and the support from everyone on campus, which I think it's that's key.
We know from studies that when students feel they are valued members of the school community, have positive relationships with teachers, staff, and peers, they are more likely to attend school regularly. Eric, an eighth grade student, shared his perspective on how school social workers have had a positive impact on school climate and his sense of belonging.
I feel like it benefits us a lot just because we could go talk to Ms. Julius and our counselors. I think it does benefit us just like in multiple ways having both of them. And if they weren't here, I feel like it'd be a lot harder because I feel like after being able to talk to like the counselors and Ms. Urias, I feel like we're like, it almost like relieves something off your chest. You just feel more like open. Yeah, you feel more comfortable like walking around. And if like there's like any bullying going around too, we could always talk to them. And then most of the time they'll bring the person and like us, whoever's getting bullied, and we'll talk about it and they'll make sure like nothing else will be going on like that. When everyone first came back to transition from COVID to here, it was really awkward. Like a lot of people wouldn't talk and we'd all just sit there. But eventually we started like having like rallies and then tournaments and then people would just start talking. And I feel like a lot of people just got more social. It just helped a lot from there. I feel like there still are some people that are still going through that transition. But from what I've seen from the start of the year to now, it's like a whole completely different school. All of us are just like a lot better.
I really like that the school really does feel like a community. It doesn't feel like we're just going to school every day. It feels like the school's like a whole little family because like anyone that you see, anybody here, we all know each other. And it's more like of a community than a school.
Creating a learning environment where students and families feel like they are all part of the community takes hard work. But the core of all their efforts was a foundation built from effective leadership, commitment, and trust at all levels. In their closing remarks, Michael and Leticia share how these factors were integral to the positive impacts this work has had in their community.
There is a humble and mighty group of women leaders and superintendents that have low ego and high expectations for their community and high expectations for students. And they're willing to work together to serve all students. Regardless if they're in their district boundaries or not, and they're in the neighbor's district boundaries. I think that level of trust and relationship building happening first at the school level so that across districts, people feel comfortable with each other and they want to work with one another, and they're willing to even have hard conversations with one another. I think that level of trust needs to be foundational to before you even start inviting other partners to the table. You know, your other public health or county mental health or other partners are great to have, but you really need that connection and trust with the schools that are planning on moving forward with the initiative prior to anything.
I think leadership is very key, but also just willing to put in the work. I think it's, you know, we hear a lot of these key terms come up and, you know, a lot of phrases come in. You hear PBIS, MTSS, all these things, you know, and what's the flavor of the week? But it all goes down to actually implementing, taking the time to really work through it, really, you know, use data to kind of see what's working, what's not working, on top of having those strong leaders that, you know, they believe in the work and they know it's important and they're really there to serve the kids. I think that's definitely where it starts.
Thank you to the West Kern team for sharing how they are increasing access to mental and behavioral health services for youth in their community. We hope you enjoyed this audio cast, which is one part of a series of stories highlighting promising practices across California to support children and youth mental and behavioral health and well-being. The series is supported by California's Children and Youth Behavioral Health Initiative, a historic $4.7 billion investment by the state of California to enhance, expand, and redesign the systems that support behavioral health for children and youth across the state.